In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, May 8th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. The National Day of Prayer kicked off on Thursday on Capitol Hill with James and Shirley Dobson leading the service. Dr. Dobson warned the audience that the Supreme Court decision on homosexual marriage could be the, quote, death knell of religious liberty, unquote. He said it is as important of a decision as Roe v. Wade. Filmmaker Alex Kendrick wept and prayed. We must repent. Don't let wickedness take our land, he said. And Superior Court Judge Robert Rigsby reminded the audience that it is God who is in control, not man, not Congress, not the judiciary. Amen. The President of the United States announced in the Day of Prayer proclamation that he was joining, quote, all people of faith in asking for God's continued guidance, mercy, and protection, unquote. Perhaps we should repent of breaking the first commandment first. For all the gods and the false faiths of the nation are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Psalm 96:5. England's national elections will be a close call between the Labour and Conservative parties. The issue, the third and fourth parties are taking millions of votes. It's the anti-immigration and Scottish nationalists who are gaining ground and producing the fractures. America and England would do well to remember the maxim, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9:17. The Christian Post reports on a woman named Kim Hae-suk, who survived 28 years in a North Korean prison camp. She testified at a human rights event at the United Nations concerning the condition of the camp. 20-hour workdays, torture, starvation, and cannibalism. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. 2 Timothy 4, 1-5. A high-level North Korean official told CNN in an exclusive interview that his country has the capability to launch a nuclear warhead on the American mainland, and they would do so if the U.S., quote, forced their hand, unquote. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, there's good foreign policy for our nation. Is your church receiving death threats? Voice of the Martyrs reports on a Pakistani pastor taking significant persecution from local Muslims. After a former imam was converted by his ministry, the pushback increased sharply. He is pressed to visiting his members in their homes as they respond to threats on their lives. Todd Nettleton from Voice of the Martyrs told The Worldview, this is a part of a larger problem in Pakistan.
Well, the reality is that Christians make up less than 2% of the population in Pakistan, and they're seen as expendable. And really, the expectation in Pakistan is that a murder like that, you'll get away with it. There won't be a serious investigation. There won't be punishment. There won't be accountability because, you know, they were just some Christians.
Journalists are not safe in Pakistan either. Four Christian journalists in the province of Balochistan have been threatened by an Islamic extremist group. According to World Watch Monitor, the men are taking the threat seriously in light of the fact that 30 journalists have been killed in the same province over the last 10 years. Why the antipathy towards a free press? For everyone that does evil hates the light. Neither comes to the light lest his deeds should be reproved. Former President Bill Clinton is working to dismiss controversies surrounding the Clinton Foundation. In an interview with NBC News, he blamed the problem on the accountant. Clinton said, quote, the guy that filled out the forms made an error, unquote. In another recent media interview, Clinton explained, quote, I just work here, unquote. 50 tornadoes in Texas, Oklahoma, and Kansas, damaging at least one trailer park and resulting in 13 injuries. By the mercy of God, nobody died. A pastor in Menominee, Michigan is carrying a cross 200 miles to raise awareness about homelessness. Pastor Dave Pinnell from Abundant Life Church says the walk will take him 6 days.
Recently, I got to the 90-mile mark, and my right leg is cramped up real bad, so I'm not able to walk right now, but I have a lot of the residents of the mission, a lot of people that are homeless, are actually pushing me in a wheelchair right now. A lot of people have a misconception about the homeless, but, you know, these people are stepping up the plate, and they know it's important to me and important to them.
Pastor Dave's church is needing to expand their homeless shelter that provides assistance to 24 people. The first self-driving semi-truck took to the road this month, but don't worry, the Daimler truck switches to autopilot only on the open highway, and it will not pass slower vehicles. Well, that's a relief. And that's the worldview in 5 minutes on this Friday, May 8th, in the year of our Lord 2015, my 49th birthday. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. This is Kevin Swanson, your host. Steve Vaughn also in studio. A couple of homeschooling dads talking about the issues of the day. And today we're going to talk about, well, generations and our interest in establishing strong thesis antithesis. And that can only be determined and defined by the Bible, by Scripture. So we use the Scriptures on this program on a regular basis. But here's the bad news, first of all. I know we hit a lot of bad news, but this is bad news, man, I have to say. It's a little disappointing, especially if you live in Colorado. The Colorado's fetal homicide law bit the dust yesterday, thanks to the Democrats. We knew it was going to happen. It was a done deal. We knew they were going to kill the babies. They're all about that. It started with a Longmont abortionist. Now, she apparently was not a professional abortionist. She was
out of her home.
She was working out of her home, right. A Longmont abortionist forcibly cut a baby out of a pregnant woman's womb and killed the baby. Now, it was a forced abortion.
Yeah.
It was what the Chinese do.
Yeah.
And it's what America has supported China for a very, very long time. But the Republicans tried to pass a fetal homicide law, and it passed the Senate.
Yeah, well, we've got a majority in the
Senate.
We do. Yeah.
By one or two votes. So it barely passed the Senate, and of course, the Democrats have control of the House, so of course, the Democrats do what the Democrats do best, and that is kill babies.
Yeah, and Hickenritter would never have signed it.
No. The Democrats stopped it at the House State Veterans and Military Affairs Committee on party line vote. The commitment on the part of the Democrats to kill babies is mind-blowing. It's just phenomenal. It's astounding from my perspective. They are so committed to this. Now, this bill, if you read the bill, it exempted a mother who wanted to kill her own baby.
Yeah.
It exempted all abortion, abortifacients. So it even did that. It was just a bill that said if somebody else comes and wants to force an abortion, we're going to up the ante on the fetal homicide. That's all it was. The Democrats are so afraid that somehow there will be restrictions on their right to an abortion and abortifacient birth control methods. They don't even want to get close to it. The problem with the Democrats is that they are selfish and they love to kill babies for their own convenience. And they need Christ. The Democrats are sinners, just like the Republicans. And some Republicans have not repented either. Probably a lot of Republicans haven't repented. But the real problem with the Democrats, let's get to the real issue with Democrats. Why do the Democrats want to kill babies? And even to the point where they're more or less endorsing forced abortions, as in the bloody work of this abortionist in Longmont, Colorado. Why are they so enthusiastic about killing babies, but that they don't want any baby to get in the way of the convenient lifestyle of the postmodern woman who wants to live independently, and she wants to be able to kill that baby anytime she wants if that baby inconveniences her? That is the problem with Democrats, is they're selfish to the core, they're sinful, and they need Jesus Christ to save them from their sins. Otherwise, they will be the murderers that get cast into the lake of fire at the end. So it's either repent, believe in Jesus Christ who saves you from that selfishness that utterly controls you, to the point where you would be a serial murderer if you could in order to maintain your own selfish, convenient lifestyle. And many of them are probably moving in that direction. But the only thing that saves you from that sin that is so controlling in your life is the redemption of Jesus Christ. And I think we need to continually remind people that the gospel of Christ is the only thing that can save these Democrats from their sins.
Yeah, it's the only way to save any of us from our sins, including the Republicans, because I know I've got some friends who are in the House and the Senate, and they've said that there are plenty of liberal causes that the Republicans are going to vote for anyway that they wouldn't even bring up because they know that it's not going to pass even in the Republican even if they had the majority in the Republican House, they wouldn't pass anyway because of the selfishness and because they aren't saved either.
Yeah. And, you know, as a few Democrats and a few Republicans are saved, oftentimes it bears cultural results. Christians become the salt, yeast, and light, and the end result is that they sanctify the systems, just like in a Christian, in a marriage. A Christian wife sanctifies an unbelieving husband. She sanctifies the marriage merely because she is a Christian. Okay, now here's one more story before we take the break on this generation's broadcast. And that is a World Magazine story about, it's called Disorientation, about laws banning reparative therapy, especially for minors. And so here's how the story begins. Very well done story. I appreciate a lot of what World Magazine has been doing lately. Here's the way it starts. From an office in Brick, New Jersey, therapist Tara King counsels clients struggling with addictions, abusive pasts, broken relationships, and occasionally those dealing with same-sex attractions. For 15 years, King, a former lesbian, has told clients about how her relationship with Christ transformed her life and helped her leave a homosexual lifestyle. She says she doesn't promise clients their attractions will change, but tells them changes are possible. Now, there's an exception. She can't offer that counsel to minors. And the article talks about Chris Christie. I didn't realize this. 2013, Republican Governor Chris Christie, who, by the way, may run for president of the United States, signed a New Jersey law prohibiting state-licensed counselors, ergo Christians, like Tara King, from engaging in sexual orientation change efforts with minors. Same kind of bill passed in California in 2012. Same kind of bill just passed in the District of Columbia in 2014, and something like 18 other states have considered the ban. Colorado lawmakers rejected the ban in April thanks to the Republican-controlled Senate, and that's been the only safeguard to keeping Christians from getting persecuted in this country. Although the ban doesn't include pastors or Christian counselors at this point, it's still alarming, says Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. I think it's a very dangerous position for the government to say it knows best what kind of counseling someone should receive. All right, now, the article goes on and says, for King, a member of the American Association of Christian Counselors, New Jersey, this ban means she now turns away some clients. She says, a worried mother recently called and said she discovered her 16-year-old son watching male pornography. By the way, is not unusual these days, even amongst Christian homeschool families. The question, could King help? Could this Christian counselor help this family? King spoke with the mother, but says, I had to tell her, I can't see your son. Now, in reference to this, I wanted to bring up a good verse. It's from Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and verse 28. Didn't we give you strict orders not to continue teaching in that name? Okay, this is Governor Chris Christie.
Yeah.
This is Governor Chris Christie talking to the Christian counselors in the state of New Jersey. I thought we gave you strict orders not to continue teaching in this name, and yet you have filled New Jersey with your teaching and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. I think we've said this on a recent broadcast. Christians need to start a list of the laws we need to break. Put it on the fridge. Put it on the fridge.
Are the fridges big enough?
Well, that's a concern, yes. You may have to get
smaller,
two fridges.
Smaller font.
We have two fridges. So if you, yeah, smaller font. Make a list of the laws you need to break and put it on the fridge. Religious liberties are on the edge right now. And the Republicans running for president of the United States may or may not help the cause. And that's why our Religious Liberties Conference, November 6th and 7th, Des Moines, Iowa, 6 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. Be there. And I'm talking to the last 30 million Christians left in America. And I think we've got something like 30 million Christians. You want to go to jail? Every single one of you 30 million Christians, you want to go to jail? Are you ready to pay fines? You ready to go to jail? Are you ready? Are you ready to press your rights as Paul did in Acts chapter 16 when he was arrested but then told the city council to come down and get him out of jail? Are you ready to press your religious rights? Are you ready? Are you ready to be a Christian? The last 30 million Christians in America, I'm asking you the question, are you ready to be a Christian in 2016 and 2017? That's why the Religious Liberties Conference in Des Moines, Iowa, to equip the last 30 million Christians in America to exercise religious rights and obey God rather than man. We'll be back in just a moment. Dads, is it time to get away with your sons to build those important relationships? Remember, fruitful relationships is what it takes to have a fruitful life. And how you disciple your son has everything to do with building those relationships. Here's an opportunity for you. Don't miss a once-in-a-lifetime experience at our Father-Son Retreat at the Crooked Creek Ranch in the Colorado Rockies this September. This year, we will be featuring speakers like Scott Brown, Dan Einerson, Steve Vaughn, and yours truly from the Generations Radio program. You'll enjoy outdoor activities, training sessions like wilderness first aid, mountain survival, blood tracking, as well as sports activities, swimming, high ropes course, rock climbing walls, kayaking, and hiking in the beautiful Colorado Rockies. It all happens September 3rd to the 6th at the most fabulous retreat center in the Colorado Rockies. Register today for our Father-Son Retreat at ColoradoFatherSon.com. That's ColoradoFatherSon.com. Back on the Generations broadcast, Kevin Swanson here with you. We've been on this program for some 11 years, and we are heard in 105 nations around the world, and we are breaking records every month right now, Steve. I didn't know if you knew that.
I didn't know that.
But we are breaking records every month right now on our outlets, our various outlets. We're on One Place Sermon Audio, our own website, generationswithvision.com, and several others around the internet. But over the last year, I'm guessing some of our listeners have noticed some shifts in the broadcast. Some of our emphases have changed a little bit. We want more scripture, for example. We want more voices on our network. And that's why Steve, that's why Bill, that's why Adam. We want to recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ and his redemption more so, more so. We think that's the good news. We got to get there. That is more optimism. More of a balance between separatism and Puritanism. Sometimes we kind of go over to the separatism thing. Sometimes we move more towards the Puritanism. We want a balance here. And when we say we are a safe distance from the demise of Western civilization, we're thinking separatistically. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. There is something of a metaphysical separation that happens with Christians. And that's A-okay. But on the other hand, are we to be salt, yeast, and light? Are we to be out there in the world? Yeah, there's a Puritanist element, which means purify or to get out there and impact the systems.
To try to fix what's going wrong in certain systems rather than totally separating yourself from that system.
That's right. That's right. Now, we're also trying to deal with how we deal with the negative. We want to be critical of ourselves, critical of the world, but we want to be very, very, very careful when we're critical of our brothers in Christ. We want to be very careful to avoid a heavy-duty sectarianism. And I think we've tried to keep that from time to time, but we've failed at times as well. Recently, somebody pointed out that we had taken issue with several Christians on some rather narrow issues on two programs about 3 to 4 years ago. It was quite some time back. And we use rather deprecating words for a Dr. Noe and Tim Challies. And I regret doing that. I had the programs removed, by the way, because I just didn't want to go there. We don't want to go there. We are committed to stand by our faithful conservative leaders and denominations, like the PCA, the Southern Baptists, the OPC, the Missouri Synod Lutherans. Mm-hmm. These are the good guys. They're hanging in there for dear life. And there may be some cracking going on, but if so, we want to give them some room, like the Southern Baptists. And eventually, the Southern Baptists disappointed Jimmy Carter. I think I'm okay with that, you know? I can handle that.
Yeah.
But in occasion, we see some cracking on issues like theistic evolution, feminism, endorsement of what I would think to be godless education. And that bothers me some, but I want to be careful. You know, I want to be loving and careful with my brothers and give some long-suffering, some patience, some gentleness, some kindness in the process. And I don't think I've always been that way. On the other hand, we want to maintain sharp lines between truth and error. Because, you know, we're not postmodern. We're not saying it all kind of muddles and it's all, you know, it's all good. Everybody's good. As you know, we don't believe that. There are some movements that stand for Christ and some that stand against Christ. And we have tried to use recently, the last year or two, historical measures the church has used in the past. And that's why I've done the research for Keep the Faith, Volume 1 and 2, the one on education, and Keep the Faith on sexuality and the family. Because I don't want to be standing alone in history. I don't want to be starting some new cult. I don't want to say, hey, I've got a unique approach to these issues. I want to stand on the research, the wisdom of past centuries.
Yeah, today the unique approach is the biblical approach. And so you may be saying you're not doing a unique approach, but today you kind of are, because the biblical approach is not. But when you take a look at family and marriage, take a look at what the culture has been doing. The culture has failed.
Yeah.
You have a huge divorce rate. You have families breaking up all over the place.
Yeah.
And you take a look at those who are seeking to follow the biblical approach. Their families are hanging together.
Versus those who are seeking to follow the zeitgeist, you know, the cool thing.
Yeah.
The way that the culture is going. They want to go that direction.
They're messed up.
They are. They are. And so the encouragement, friends, is to stand on the basis of Scripture and on the godliest records we have from the pastors and teachers that Jesus has given the church over 2,000 years. We also are really careful to distinguish between those organizations that are going the wrong direction. When we're challenged to choose between supporting, on the one hand, explicitly pro-homosexual, pro-big government, anti-biblical homeschool alumni organization versus a Christian homeschool organization, of course we're going to stand with Christ and His Word. Of course. Of course. That should be plain. It should be obvious. We're going to call the pro-homosexual, pro-big government, anti-Christian homeschool organization to repentance. Now, we also want to avoid pride. I think at points I've been proud and I've been humbled. God is amazing. He humbles you. And He's humbled me in the last year or two, and it's been a good thing. The party spirit, the labels, I found not to be all that helpful. We want to avoid some of those traps. And, you know, when we talk about institutional sins, we deal with the social aspect on the program. We don't want to become overly focused on the sins in the world out there that is OPS, other people's sins. It's easy to do that. It's a form of distraction. When we have our own sin, so we want to be sure that when we talk about what's going on out there, we're looking at ourselves. We wind up back at ourselves. We're not just dealing with their sexual lust and licentiousness. There's lust and licentiousness that winds up tempting us as well. And when we talk about tragedies, what would Jesus say about that? Well, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Repent of what? Of whatever sins you're dealing with, whatever you need to repent of. Don't talk about your sins being any better than people's sins out there.
Yeah, it's like Galatians chapter 6. You know, if you see your brother sinning, but one of the things that it admonishes you to do is be careful that you don't become party to that as well. So you've got to be careful even when you are working with somebody else, that you not fall into another sin.
And it's appropriate to point out sins elsewhere. Some say you can't point out anybody else's sins. Well, that's what pastors do. That's what teachers do. And, of course, they have to deal with their own sins at the same time. We want to distinguish between Pharisaical sinners that whitewash sins like homosexuality or ungodly divorce and refuse to admit their sins, and then the publican homosexuals and divorcees who are truly repentant, and they're on their knees crying out for mercy. So you have the Pharisees, and you have the publicans. The Pharisaical systems are institutional forms of whitewashing, politically acceptable sins. And I think these ought to be attacked, even with satire if necessary. You see, now some would say they're not careful in this area, and they're saying, now you got to love everybody, you got to love everything and everybody, and you can't go after anything. No. What we're saying is we're being very cautious here. Jesus went after the Pharisees that were whitewashed sepulchers who did not acknowledge their own sins. And those are the homosexual apologists. But at the same time, he turns to those homosexuals who understand that they are in the depths, in the grip of sin, and they need Jesus to forgive them and to save them from their sins. And we show mercy and grace and compassion to these. So again, we got to be clear and careful in our thinking on these things. And our desire, of course, is to present the good news as well as the bad news. Our commitment is to say Jesus is the answer for the world today, borrowing from Andre Crouch, of course.
Yeah, it sounded like lyrics to me.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but that's a classic line. Jesus is the answer for the world today. We don't want to make this program out in the sense that Christ is not an issue. Christ does not recognize his lordship. His salvation isn't important. We don't want that. We want Christ to be at the center of it. That's why the Worldview News in 5 minutes, we present the preeminence of Jesus Christ over history, over all of the governments of the world and every world event that happens. We bring in Scripture. We couch it in the truths and the reality of God himself. And people have told us from all over the place that Worldview News in 5 minutes is amazing in the sense that encourages us, and we're no longer discouraged in listening to world events because we know God's in control and we know what he's doing because his word properly frames it, properly explains it, and we put Bible verses right smack in the middle of a news broadcast, and nobody has been doing that as far as we know. And we think that's the most encouraging way in which Christians can view the world and view world events. All right, we're out of time, my friends, but let me tell you, in order to keep this program on the air, we need your support. We've been at this for 11 years, and thankfully, we've done it without Nike and Pepsi sponsorships.
Amen.
they pulled the funding early.
Yeah.
I think it was at the first program.
Yeah.
11 years ago.
It was something about just don't do it was, you know, it was against the do it thing.
Yeah. I think they came up with the just don't do it campaign when it came to the Generations broadcast.
Yeah.
But friends, if you like what we're doing, if you like the Gen 2 survey, which looked at millennials and found the things that God is doing, how he's blessing part of the millennial generation. If you were excited with what happened with the Gen 2 survey, And with the Worldview News in 5 minutes, we got a team of 8 that work on that every day to give you a daily update with those interviews from all around the world, including that recent one on the Bali 9, the pastor in Australia that was there for the execution while the men were singing Amazing Grace. An amazing story. But we found that pastor. We did the interview. By the way, my daughter did it. She sets up most of the interviews for us, and appreciate her very much. But friends, if you support what we're doing in bringing a distinctively biblical world and life view to education and media, which are, as I see it, the most powerful influences in the modern world. They have huge influence on the minds of billions of people around the globe. If you like to bring a biblical view of education and media to the front and to engage the worldview war at the very, very front of the battleground, then you might want to support the Generations radio broadcast. And throughout the month of May, we encourage folks to commit to sponsoring this program to $100 a month, to $20 a month, to $10 a month. We need 100 sponsors to keep us on the air for the next year. And it may take an additional 50 sponsors to keep our Worldview in 5 minutes program going as well. But we want to keep these things going. We don't know that there's much out there to compete with us. And so if you find these things edifying and you want more people involved, listening to these programs, please support the Generations Radio broadcast by going to our website, generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com, and click on donate. Please be one of the 100 brave sponsors to keep this program on the air for the year 2015-2016. We'll do this for the month of May. If you'd like to sign up, friends, do so at our website, generationsradio.com or kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.